Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey guys, Ryan here. If you listen to the podcast on Apple, there's a very simple way for you to help out the show. Just click the Apple Premium subscriber button at the top of the feed, and you'll instantly become a premium member where you get all the same rewards as our Patreon members do. Early access to all main episodes and bonus episodes and content. Join our Apple Premium subscription today, and thank you for your support. France is known for many things. The Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, Notre Dame Cathedral, croissants, champagne, the Moulin Rouge, the French Riviera, and so, so much more. But what if I told you that France also has a rich history of several waves of UFO sightings, some of which are among the most intense waves in history? And in and among these intense periods of UFO activity, though, are other lesser-known UFO sightings and encounters. This is UFOs over France.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
On the evening of November 5th, 1990, residents of France were suddenly witness to a very strange flash of light in the sky. And it wasn't just one or two or even several of the local people who saw these bursts of light, but thousands of them, spanning all different cities. As it was later discovered by investigators, an absolute wealth of sightings were made that evening, with witnesses offering varied descriptions from their respective locations. Some witnesses recalled seeing clusters of light, while others reported seeing very solid structures, which had searchlights coming from them. There were even reports of mothership-type objects, with smaller objects leaving them. What was also interesting to note was that many of those who described seeing a solid structured craft often described it as arrow or even triangular shaped, suggesting that whatever this object was, the witnesses had definitely seen something out of the ordinary. Other reports mentioned oblong or rectangular shaped objects, often with searchlights pointing to the ground. Many reports further mentioned the objects speeding up and then slowing down again, suggesting some kind of intelligence behind them. At first glance, it would appear that some kind of invasion was about to take place in France that evening. However, before anyone's imagination could run away with them, there appeared to be an explanation for at least a majority of the sightings. Only 2 days previously, the Gorizont 23 rocket was launched. It was suggested that what many people witnessed that evening over France was the fragments of the rocket re-entering the atmosphere. Indeed, that could explain a great many of the sightings, particularly those that spoke of clusters or groups of lights. It couldn't, however, explain many of the apparent sightings of solid objects with searchlight-like beams. And one sighting in particular in Saint-Germain was of particular interest. On the night in question, at around 7 p.m., Sandrine was driving her friend, Philippe, back from the local hospital. He had been there to visit his wife, who had just given birth to twin boys only hours earlier. They were driving along a quiet road that ran alongside the A6 motorway, heading toward Mency. As they were approaching the village of Lys, they noticed a strange object moving across the sky. From his position in the front passenger seat, Philippe managed to see the object more clearly. It appeared to be piloted and under control, moving very purposefully and rather slowly across the skies. The object was huge, compact, rectangular, with a surface shiny like aluminum. He could hear no sound or noise coming from it, but there did appear to be light and smoke coming from the area where white lights were situated. It had to be around 600 feet long and around 300 feet in height, according to Philippe. By this point, Sandrine had brought the vehicle to a stop, and each of them watched the object as it passed in front of the car and headed off into the distance. At around 11:30 p.m. on August 12, 1991, in Nice, a young couple were in a field watching the stars. On this particular night, the stars appeared bright and stood out against the jet-black sky. As they watched, the young man noticed what he believed was a satellite, moving slowly to the north out of the south, describing it as a steady, dim light, like a star but moving. He pointed out the object to his girlfriend. As they watched, something unusual caught their attention.
Whatever this object was, it took a sudden left turn. It did so without a change in speed and with no curve. I knew immediately that I had just witnessed something out of the ordinary. No conventional aircraft or satellite could perform such maneuvers.
The object continued toward the east, eventually fading away into the distance, which is perhaps a good indicator of just how fast this mysterious object was moving. The witness would further state the following.
My father was a physicist, engineer, and amateur astronomer, so I was more than familiar with such disciplines. Because of this, I was more than certain that what we had witnessed that evening was far from normal.
And the sighting remains unexplained. In the opening days of 1994, in January, three sightings of mysterious aerial vehicles were made within 5 days of each other, with two of those encounters unfolding on the same night. The first unfolded just before midnight on the evening of January 4th, in Fleury-sur-Andelle. On the night in question, an anonymous man was watching television at home when he noticed an orange light from outside that appeared to be moving back and forth. He went to the window to see what the source of this strange light might be, and was shocked to see a luminous, cone-shaped object that appeared to be turning around its own axis. The witness could also see stripes of various color around the circumference of the craft. As he continued to watch, the object suddenly sped off into the distance, becoming nothing more than a speck of light in a matter of seconds. Then, it returned back toward the house, eventually coming to a gentle stop. The witness recalled that he had the distinct impression that the object, or whatever intelligence was inside it, was observing him and was aware of his presence. At this point, he backed away from the window, even pulling the covers over him in a bizarre moment of fear. Then, he heard a noise that seemed to come from directly outside his house, quickly followed by several flashes of light. For several minutes, the witness felt strange, uncomfortable, muscular contractions in his legs and back, which only eased when the object moved away from the property. The object disappeared, and everything seemed to go back to normal, leaving the witness with more questions than answers. Although the exact time is uncertain, on the very same evening, this time, in Tronville-en-Barrois, two parents and their two children were just about to head to bed when they noticed something outside their window. The father would state the following.
It was an extremely bright light hovering over the road.
Fascinated by what they were seeing, the witnesses continued to watch.
The light was slowly decreasing in brightness. As it did so, I began to make out more intricate details. I could see that behind the light was a solid ball-shaped object with a transparent dome on the top.
Even more amazing, however, was what he saw next.
We could clearly see three human-shaped figures inside this domed section. But something was different about them. Their heads appeared too large for their bodies, and they all wore identical one-piece silver suits.
At this point, the father excitedly telephoned their neighbors.
I urged them to go to their window so they could see this. They did. And we stayed on the phone describing the event from our own vantage point. We were saying the same exact thing.
The object was now only several feet from the ground when an opening suddenly appeared along the side of it.
From this opening, one of the humanoids appeared. It was shining some kind of torch-like device down towards the ground, as if looking for something. After several moments, the torch went out, and the figure returned inside the craft. A moment later, the object took off at great speed into the sky and disappeared. The neighbors would meet us outside to discuss what had just happened. As we looked at the ground in front of the road, that's when we saw it. A massive circular burn mark.
This close encounter would leave them completely mystified for some time to come. 5 nights later, at around 7:30 p.m. on January 9th in Neusenville, a young woman and her friends were driving along the road when they witnessed the following in the skies overhead.
It was a luminous object, rectangular in shape. I brought the car to a stop and we watched it as it seemed to move purposefully in one direction. It had red and white lights around the edges. Just as we got a good look at it, it headed off into the clouds and disappeared.
The woman started the car and they went on their way. But this was not the end of the sighting.
It appeared again. I stopped the car again to watch it. But this time, we actually got out of the car so that we could get a better view of it. I was rather perplexed at this point. The object had the same red and white lights around its edges. It now appeared oval-shaped instead of rectangular. Either we'd had the shape wrong when we first saw it, or this object had actually changed shape mid-flight.
They continued to watch the object for several minutes until it disappeared into the distance.
I'm Ryan Sprague.
And I'm Andrew Sanford.
And we love pro wrestling.
It's the best.
Headlocks, elbow drops,
scathing promos, and chair shots.
We just can't get enough of it. So we started a podcast.
You can join Ryan and me as we dig into the ins and outs of pro wrestling like the rabid fans we are.
We've got interviews, previews, predictions, news, and so much more. And we're going to cover all of it on Somewhere in the Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Is that supposed to be Macho Man?
Nope, no good.
We'll work on it. Join us every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts, for all new episodes. And we'll see you somewhere in the ring.
Somewhere in the Ring is part of the E1 Podcast Network.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the early hours of October 30th, at around 1:45 a.m., a couple were returning home in their car when they noticed a luminous circle with glowing lights around its edge, hovering and turning on itself overhead. The object was stationary and was approximately 15 feet above the ground. Within moments, the object was directly in front of the car, allowing the witnesses to see the white circular light that was part of a larger, triangular-shaped object, with each side of the triangle being around 30 feet long. Unnerved, the witness continued driving, speeding up and slowing down as they did so. The object appeared to match their speed as it followed them for several minutes. Eventually, the object seemed to lose interest in them, moving away from them in another direction. Interestingly, when the sighting was investigated, another couple who were driving along the same stretch of road around the same time described seeing an almost identical object. Whatever that object was remains unexplained. At around 8 p.m. on September 12, 1996, in Pont de Salars, a mother and her daughter would find themselves at the center of another curious UFO encounter. As the car made its way along the road, the pair noticed a bizarre oval-shaped object with a domed section on the top hovering around 12 feet above the ground. They would later state in their report that the object was approximately the size of two vehicles. Furthermore, on the domed section, they could see what appeared to be three portholes that shined a sharp red color. Also in this section was a fluorescent green light that turned like a gyrosphere. Neither of the witnesses could hear any sound or noise coming from the object, despite their close proximity. They watched in awe for several minutes before it just disappeared. It was not clear how the object disappeared, and whether it rose in the air or if it just simply faded away. The witnesses were at a complete loss as to what they had just seen, with neither being able to offer any kind of rational explanation. Interestingly, only four nights later in Corme Royale, at around 5 a.m. on the morning of September 16th, a very similar object was witnessed. An unnamed man was driving when he suddenly noticed a luminous point of light appearing. The more he looked at this light, the more he could eventually see a solid oval-shaped object with portholes around the sides, from which came a strong orangish-red light. He estimated the object to be approximately 1,000 feet from his car and around 100 feet from the ground. He described the exterior as being of a dark material and estimated its size to be around 30 feet. The man had no desire to stop and calmly but quickly made his way past the object. As he did so, however, he could see what appeared to be another two identical craft hovering a little higher overhead. He eventually left the scene behind, and the sighting remained a complete mystery. Only days later, at around 11:30 p.m. on a rainy night in Paris, a husband and wife witness a strange, glowing object moving through the clouds. The witness stated that the object was oval-shaped and changed speeds as it moved, appearing to slow and move downwards, and increasing when ascending. Its motion appeared to be similar to how we might imagine a high-speed boat moving over the water. The object momentarily disappeared, only to reappear moments later. This time, though, a second glowing object appeared. The couple watched in awe as these two objects suddenly hurtled toward each other, stopping just short of merging. The display went on for several minutes, with the lights appearing to disappear into the distance, only to appear again. Only this time, four lights were now visible. Once more, these lights moved around in a pattern in the sky, but very much in a controlled manner. Eventually, the lights disappeared into the sky for good. Although they noticed a few other people on the street with them, they were in such shock and so amazed by what they were witnessing that they were not at all certain if these other passerbys were aware of this anomaly. Only 2 days later, at just after midnight on July 5th, in the Salon de Provence, another bizarre encounter unfolded. According to a report made to the National UFO Reporting Center, the witness, along with three friends, were returning home following a practice session with their salsa band. It was as they were driving out of the city that one of the witnesses, a young woman, noticed something in the skies.
It was a glowing object of some kind. At first, we didn't pay much attention to it. However, after about 5 minutes, it remained. That's when I realized I was definitely witnessing something out of the ordinary. I wondered if this glow was a car in the distance that only appeared to be in the sky. However, when I realized that the area where the light was coming from was a forest, I immediately dismissed this as an explanation.
The woman decided to bring the car to a stop to see if she could hear anything out of the ordinary.
Aside from a few birds, there were no sounds to speak of, but I did see something else. A fog of some kind. It was near where the glowing object was.
At this point, she and her friends set off once more. But something continued to concern the woman.
I had this impression that the object, whatever it was following us. I decided to stop the car once more, to the dismay of my friends. To my shock, the object also stopped. I started driving again, and it followed. I stopped, it stopped, I drove, it followed. This continued for some time. At one point, as we drove through a small village, I thought we'd lost the object, but as soon as we left the village behind, the glowing object appeared and started following us again.
Was this a purposeful decision by the intelligence in control of the object? Was this an attempt to conceal itself from the wider public, only appearing again once more to the group who were now driving out of the village?
The object kept following us no matter where we went. There was one point where I turned the headlights off in the car, hoping it would lose us. It didn't. We were very scared at this point. It got closer, and that's when I got a better look at it. It was a solid object, and it was circular in shape. It had lights wrapped around it, small squares of light that were turning first one way and then the other. The center of the object changed size all the time, pulsating like art.
Eventually, the group arrived at Salon de Provence, and the object ceased its pursuit and immediately headed into the distance in the direction it had come from, leaving the group completely terrified and dumbfounded. Around 2 months later, at just before 1:45 a.m. in the early hours of September 7th, in Paris, a local resident reported seeing a strange object over the city from his balcony. The witness stated that the object was a distinct triangular shape with a green light at two of the corners and a blue light at the other. He recalled that it moved along a rectangular trajectory and remained completely silent as it did so. The witness did, though, feel strange vibrations in his body as it moved overhead, which he attributed to the object. In total, it remained in sight for around 12 seconds before it disappeared into the distance. One other strange detail, however, was that when he went to take a picture of the object, his camera failed to work, almost as if it had been blocked by whatever intelligence was in control of the object. Whether this is just coincidence or not is open for debate. The sighting, though, remains unexplained almost a quarter of a century later. The following year, at around 11 p.m. on July 12, 1998, in La Motte-d'Avalance, a local man, along with his girlfriend and her brother, were in their yard in the village of Grenoble, staring up at the night sky looking for satellites. They would spot around 10 satellites during the course of the evening. One of them, however, stood out from the others, making the trio contemplate just what it was they were looking at. According to the report to the National UFO Reporting Center, this particular object, instead of moving across the sky in a typical satellite fashion, suddenly stopped and changed direction. And it did so in a way not like any conventional aircraft, all in one fluid motion. It then began to move as if tracing the outlines of a square before it headed off and disappeared in the distance. Initially, the group decided to keep the sighting to themselves. However, several days later, the main witness was speaking to a friend who was an astronomer who offered he had likely witnessed the same mysterious object on the same night. Rather than being able to provide a rational explanation for the object, the witness's friend was at as much of a loss as he was. They contemplated that what they could have seen could be an experimental and highly advanced military satellite. If this wasn't the case, though, the only other reasonable explanation they could arrive at was that what they had witnessed was a vehicle from another world. And the sighting remained unexplained. On New Year's Day of 1999, over Reunion Island, a metallic disc was witnessed hovering below the heavy clouds. Almost exactly a year later, at around 6 p.m. on December 20th, 1999, in Vielle-Tenus, a triangular-shaped object was witnessed for several minutes. According to the report made to the National UFO Reporting Center, the witness noticed the strange object due to its ultra-fast movements overhead, including bizarre and breathtaking changes of direction. Indeed, the witness offered that what he saw was a very strange form of flying. He described the object as being distinctly triangular in shape, with four lights on the underside, one in the center, and one on each of the corners. The object remained in sight for around 4 minutes, performing dramatic turns and zigzag patterns that, according to the witness, no plane could ever do. Ultimately, the witness had no idea what it was they were seeing, describing the whole event as just really crazy. This is only a small portion of UFOs over France. The fact is, UFO encounters in France are in abundance, with sightings of strange aerial objects continuing well into the opening decades of the 21st century and into our contemporary era. So why such a heavy presence? Is it merely the size of the country and population causing a higher rate of sightings? Or could the different coastlines on the north and south of the country also have something to do with it? Or could it have something to do with the amount of military bases, a large portion being owned by the United States nonetheless, that could account for some of the reported objects being advanced military technology of some sort? Or could it be that some of these events actually involves something from somewhere else in the cosmos? One thing is certain. France continues to be a hotspot of UFO activity, even up until today. And its wealth of UFO reports over the years will undoubtedly contribute significantly to hopefully clarifying the overall UFO question someday, as we continue to search for answers somewhere in the skies. a special bonus episode about the Air France Flight 3532 UFO encounter is now available to Patreon and Apple subscribers. To listen or to join, head on over to patreon.com/somewhereskies or click the subscribe button at the top of your Apple feed. Links are also in the show notes. This episode was written and co-researched by Marcus Sloth. To learn more, visit ufoinsight.com. Special thanks to our voiceover talent in this episode, Guillaume Rivaud, Darcy Staniforth, and Tatine Darker. You can connect with them via social media at the links in the show notes. And you can follow us on Twitter at Somewhere Skies. Thank you for listening. And remember, keep your feet on the ground, but never stop searching somewhere in the skies.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.